Mother's Day, everyone. This is my 21st Mother's Day. Abigail, my oldest, is here somewhere, and I celebrate Mother's Day when she was still in my womb. So a couple of weeks ago, I was given the opportunity to give a talk on gratitude to our Empower leaders. There was about 70-plus leaders on Zoom, and days leading up to this talk, I had about 15 minutes to give a talk on gratitude. I prepared this beautiful PowerPoint on Canva. Does anyone know how to use Canva? I'm not very visually gifted. If you come to our home, all our home decorations is done by my dear husband. I'm not good at graphics, but I was so proud of my PowerPoint, thanks to Canva. And I was bragging to my family about how amazing this PowerPoint is. And so I get onto Zoom, I start the talk, and on my screen, it's scrolling. I had about 20 slides. And at the end of my talk, one of the leaders said, "Sandy, that was such an amazing talk, but your slides were not advancing forward." And I felt like, oh my goodness, I spent hours on Canva PowerPoint. But this was a day right before Ted's oral defense. And he was using Canva because I had blown Canva out of proportion. And I said, "Honey, you can't use Canva for tomorrow. You gotta convert it into a PowerPoint." And I just thought, I gave a talk on gratitude. I'm not gonna complain about my slides not advancing, but I'm gonna be grateful that I was able to help Ted do a successful oral defense the following day. So I am expounding on my talk on gratitude for this morning, Mother's Day. Message to you. How many of you know how to say thank you in other languages? Just shout it out. Okay, I think we know at least how to say thank you in at least 2-3 more languages, right? It's the first thing we teach our little kids. We say it just very casually, and at times we say it in a very deep and deserving way. It's not just a Christian thing or practice. The world has done research on the power of gratitude, and research has proven that gratitude has great benefits. I'm going to list a few here. Gratitude increases our energy. Gratitude gives us better sleep. Gratitude boosts our self-esteem and self-confidence. It improves our mental and physical health. It increases our level of happiness. And it even brings healing through those who have gone through trauma. So without doubt, gratitude is a proven track record for health, happiness, and even healing. Have you heard of the gratitude quotient? We talk about IQ, we talk about EQ. Have you heard of the GQ? It's a first term I heard put this way, GQ. There's a PowerPoint right there. I'm going to ask all of you to, is that condensed into 4? Maybe not. Okay, you're going to fast forward it. Okay, there's 4 categories, and I'm going to have all of you decide what your rating is. Number 1, I look at the world through grateful eyes and consistently express my gratitude to God and others. Number 2, I know I've been greatly blessed, but I often stop to actually express gratitude to God and others. Number 3, to be honest, I had not thought a lot about gratitude. I've got a long way to develop a lifestyle of gratitude. Number 4, I'm a whiner. I tend to focus on my problems, and I frequently express them to others. Now turn to someone who is next to you and just let them know how you rate yourself on this GQ. Be honest. All right, for those who can be honest, by a raise of hands, how many of you are 4s here, whiners? There's a few, my kids. Okay, 3, to be honest, I haven't thought much about gratitude. Thanks for your honesty. 2? And who's 1? Okay, we have kind of an even split among 1, 2, and 3. For the past 2.5 years, there's a group of women in our church that do a daily gratitude journal. So my discipline in the morning is to get coffee, and I open up my spreadsheet, and all of our names have, it's all tabbed, and we have a running list of a daily gratitude entry. It's super fun, and we're kind of in our third year doing this. And I realized doing this has forced me to wake up in the morning and think about the prior day, and just think of one thing to be thankful for to share with these group of women. Sometimes it takes a long time to think of something to be thankful for, but it's become a discipline to start off each day with a gratitude entry. And I have to say, it has really transformed my daily, how I start the day, as well as the perspective that I'm going to face the day with. So today's message has three parts, okay? This is the outline for today. First one, gratitude destroys us. Ingratitude destroys us. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be grateful. And three, gratitude transforms us and others. So let's get to the difficult word called ingratitude. Ingratitude is actually a sin and a very destructive one in our lives. There's a quote I came across. It says, ingratitude is one of our enemy's most lethal weapons. Ingratitude is toxic and poisons hearts, relationships, workplaces, churches, and ministries. In Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, there's a list of sinful activities, sins that are listed that deserve God's wrath. And among them is lack of gratitude. It's placed with the gift of sexual immorality, homosexuality, rebellion, and unrighteousness. And the list is quite extensive. But among that list is not showing gratitude. I want to mention seven gratitude killers, instigators to ingratitude. Now, as I go through this list, I want you to examine your own heart and be very slow to think about the other person in your life who has manifestations of these. Number one, a gratitude killer is comparison. When we compare ourselves to others, it either evokes pride or arrogance or jealousy. And I love this definition of envy that I came across. Envy is described as a desire to deprive someone of what they have. A desire to deprive someone of what they have. The next gratitude killer is greed, an intense and selfish desire for something and not wanting to share it. Third is coveting, a desire to have more than I have. Fourth is arrogance, that whatever I have is mine and I deserve more of it. The fifth is entitlement. We expect to receive certain blessings. We expect to receive favor. We expect to receive privileges and treatment from God and others. And when we don't get those things, it often leads to resentment and disappointment. And six, forgetfulness. So many of us have short-term memory or spiritual amnesia. If we think about the Israelites, after they left Egypt and entered the promised land, God gave them warning after warning. And one of the verses described the many warnings he's given them. And that key word that was part of the warning is to remember. So Deuteronomy 5:15, it says, remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Remember how the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand. And we all know the story of how the Israelites did not remember, but they forgot. It says in Deuteronomy 32:18, you forgot the God who gave birth to you. You forgot his works and the wonders he had shown you. You forgot God, your Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. And in Judges 8:34, it says the Israelites did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the power of the enemies around them. Forgetfulness and ingratitude go hand in hand. And as believers here, we must never, ever forget what God has done in our lives. Colossians 1:13 says, God has delivered us, you and me, from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And as I was thinking about today's gathering, every Sunday we gather because part of it is, you know, for kids, your parents have to drag you here. For the rest of us, it's by choice that we gather. It could be just a regular habit we've developed, But I just realized what a gift it is to gather as a church family, because as we gather, we are saying together, we have been brought from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of our God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the reason we gather, to celebrate the new life that God has given to us. The seventh one is bad company destroys gratitude. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says bad company corrupts good morals. And in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, it says this, difficult times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy. And the list goes on and on and on. And at the end of that scripture, it says, avoid these people. Avoid people who are ungrateful. Avoid people who are ungrateful among the list of other sins, because bad company destroys the spirit and gift of gratitude. Ingratitude destroys us and our relationship with God, because we forget. We forget what God has done for us. And we live with this spirit of comparison, envy, entitlement, disappointment. And ingratitude destroys our relationships with others, because it is a toxic sin and habit in our lives. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be grateful. I'm going to mention three things: guilt, grace, and gratitude. As followers of Jesus, we have to realize why the good news is the good news. Before, the good news was the bad news. We might be familiar with the term total depravity. All of us were born with this sin nature, and we were in desperate need of a Savior. We entered this world in the domain of darkness and under the bondage of sin, and we all have a desire and a need, a desperate need for a Savior. And this is where God's grace comes in. God demonstrated his undeserved grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly obeyed the law of God. He died in our place as the perfect Lamb of God. He took away the sins and judgment that we deserved, and his death and resurrection offers each of us new life, forgiveness, freedom, and healing from sin and death. And it is only through Christ we can have eternal life. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. Famous author Oswald Chambers says it this way, the thing that awakens the deepest well of gratitude in a human being is that God has forgiven sin. Church, I pray that today we would be reminded that God has pulled us out from the domain of darkness into the eternal life, and he has forgiven the stronghold and the power of sin in our lives, and we must respond in gratitude. Gratitude is the most natural overflow of someone who remembers and who has been transformed by God's grace. And as Jesus followers, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next slide. Let's read this all together. Okay, I wanted to read the next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's read this all together. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The next slide. Don't get drunk with... It says, give thanks in everything and for everything. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, give thanks to the Lord in everything and for everything? It's easy to say, but so hard to do. I want to introduce a very famous hymn writer named Fanny Crosby. You may not know her, or you may know her, but we sing her songs often in the church. So there's a 3-minute clip. It describes her life much better than I could explain. So let's watch this. read again what she said. I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation. Amazing. She's written over 8,000 hymns that we still sing today after over a century. The Holy Spirit was evident in Fanny Crosby's life. Her salvation and the gift of the Spirit empowered her to live with such thankfulness. Gratitude transforms us and others. You know, gratitude is really a choice that we make moment by moment, day by day. It's a choice of how we will see the world and how we will see circumstances. It's really a choice of perspective. Are we going to move away from being me-focused to God-focused? Are we going to see the glass half empty or half full? Author Ellen Vaughn says this, gratitude unleashes the freedom to live content in the moment rather than being anxious about the future or regretting the past. There is a connection between gratitude and joy, gratitude and peace. It's really when you choose gratitude, you are choosing a life of joy and peace. Many of us know this familiar passage from Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I came across Beth Moore's opposite rendition of Philippians 4, and it made me chuckle, but it really describes what it means when we don't abide by Philippians 4, 6 to 7. So listen to Beth Moore's reframing of this passage. Do not be calm about anything, but in everything, by dwelling on it constantly and being picked on by God with thoughts like, and this is the thanks I get, present your aggravations to everyone you know, but God. And the acid in your stomach, which transcends all milk products, will cause you an ulcer. And the doctor's bills will cause you a heart attack, and you will lose your mind. It's funny, but true. It's written in extreme opposites, but I just wanted to highlight this because this is a gift that we get, not that the circumstances change, but when we choose the choice of giving thanks and walking in gratitude through God's eyes, it's really inviting God's peace and his joy. Gratitude reflects the heart and character of Jesus. I'm just going to go through the list of what it really means to become a person of gratitude that's walking in the opposite spirit of those gratitude killers. And these are all reflective of Christ. And as we become grateful people, it is a beautiful witness of Christ to others. A grateful person is humble and not proud. A grateful person is God-centered and others-conscious, not self-centered and self-conscious. You know, grateful people are loving people and kind people and always finding ways to serve others in the name of Christ. A grateful person is content, satisfied, and full despite the circumstance. We remember Paul's words, and he wrote this in prison. From Philippians 4, this is Paul's words in prison. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am, to have little, to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Contentment, gratitude, feeling full is not about your circumstances or how much you have. It's a state of our hearts. And we can have access to such a grateful heart through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. A grateful person's words and speech are marked with thanks and kindness, not in murmuring or complaining. And a grateful person is refreshing, life-giving, not demanding or unhappy. There's a phrase in Colossians 2:7, it says, overflowing with thanksgiving. And it's really a picture of this river gushing with waters that cover all the surroundings around us, scattering water everywhere. And I pray that we, as we become people of gratitude, that we would be overflowing, because gratitude begets gratitude. It's a domino effect. As we become people who live with the spirit of gratitude, we get to pass that discipline and blessing on to others. A grateful person is safe and inviting, making others feel seen, heard, and known. You know, grateful people create a culture where we recognize what is happening in another person. And we become safe people, because when people make mistakes, we see it as opportunities for growth, not just a mere failure. You know, gratitude affirms that someone belongs in your life, someone belongs in the community, someone belongs in the relationship. There's a book written by I forgot to get the title of the book, but it researched how gratitude works in the corporate world. And there was an interesting research among the younger generation, and it's been proven through research that the young people desire and crave gratitude because it provides them guidance and a clear direction. And the research showed that young people who are working and entering into the industry want to know that what they are doing is making an impact in their work, that the decisions that they make are noteworthy and make a difference in their company. And so often we think if we show gratitude to someone, it's going to boost up their pride and their self-esteem, but rather it's actually affirming that they're on the right track and really creates this culture of safety and belonging. On the other hand, this research showed that narcissism is present among those who received undue praise as children. And I realize as parents or as people, we find kids even at the church, and we just say, we throw out these words of thanks without really heavy weight. And sometimes it's undue what they should actually be deserving. And this actually is the root of narcissistic people. So when praise is due, let's give it. When praise is not due, let's not be so flippant in just giving it out when it's not deserved. Superficial gratitude doesn't make an impact. It feeds negatively in people's ego. So as people of Christ, I pray that we would receive the spirit of Christ, the spirit of gratitude, and really walk in it. There's a quote here on the PowerPoint. It says this: imagine the impact in a world characterized by isolation, selfishness, and fractured relationships. If we were to adorn the gospel we profess to believe with a culture of mutual care, concern, generosity, and sacrifice, the truth we proclaim would become believable, and God would be glorified. We have the gift of gratitude to create culture, to create safety, to create belonging, and to really invite people in and to share the love of Christ with them. I have two more amazing stories as we wrap up our time, to give you context and examples of what it really means to live with gratitude. I read this in a book this week, and it's an example of just a no-name person named Mr. John. At the age of 89, he said this: when I'm gone, if I'm remembered for anything, I want to be that I was a grateful man. Now, earlier in his life, when his daughter was 17, 2 weeks before her high school graduation, she was killed in a fatal car accident. When he learned of this shocking news, the first thing he did was he gathered his family. He had four other young children, and this is what he said: before we ask God why he took Karen home in a head-on collision a few hours ago, let's thank him for the 17 years we had with her. It puts everything into perspective when we choose gratitude. He wasn't in denial of the tragic accident that happened, but his attitude and response was first of, let's thank God for the 17 years we had with our daughter. The last story I want to share is of Dr. Helen Rosevier. She was a medical missionary to Congo during the 1950s and 60s. She battled fear, she battled discouragement and feelings of unworthiness for years. And this was a season when the rebel armies constantly threatened her team's work and safety. In August of 1964, word spread that the local chief of the tribe she was working with had been abducted, killed, and eaten alive. Then, before Dr. Helen and her staff members, other female missionaries, were able to flee the country, these guerrilla soldiers came and occupied that hospital for 5 months. The women were beaten, humiliated, and abused by these rebel soldiers. She wrote in her autobiography about that first very dark night. This is her words. I felt utterly alone. For a brief moment, I felt at last that God had failed me. He could have stepped in and prevented this rising crescendo of wickedness and cruelty. He could have saved me out of their hands. Why didn't he speak? Why didn't he intervene? But in the midst of this terrifying ordeal, she cried out to the Lord, and she sensed God saying to her, Helen, can you thank me? She knew God wasn't asking her to thank him for the evil, but the question that came to her heart was this, and it's on the PowerPoint. Can you thank me for trusting you with this experience, even if I never tell you why? And this is the question I want to ask all of you. There may be some challenging situations in your life. There may be things that are just seem impossible. We may never know why certain things happen, but the question I want to ask all of you is, can you still thank God that he is trusting you with this experience, even if you were never to know why it has happened? So we have a choice to make today. Will we choose to live in a spirit of gratitude or ingratitude? Will we only give thanks to God only when things are going well for us? What about in the hard times, the disappointing times, times that we feel that God has failed or abandoned us? Can we take the words that Dr. Helen Rosevier received and ask ourselves, can we still thank God that he would trust me with this situation? To really give thanks to God in everything and for everything. Just a few practical guidelines. We need to slow down. We live in such a fast-paced lifestyle. When we slow down, we get to remember and see God at work. 2, choose your perspective. Are you going to choose your perspective and how you see things through God's eyes or through your own? The third one is we need to speak out our gratitude. Silent gratitude cannot bless God or others. Let's have the discipline of speaking it out, writing it out, emailing it out, putting it on your social media posts, whatever it is, to make our gratitude known and heard. Be sincere. Be sincere with your gratitude. Be very specific. We see how Paul thanked the Philippian church with this. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's be specific and timely when we give a word of gratitude to those that deserve it in our lives. So this is a gratitude challenge I have for all of you. I challenge you to start a daily gratitude journal. And if you can bring another friend, another person in your family along in the journey, it's really, really fun. I could give you some ideas on how to do this. I dare you and challenge you to think of one person you can show thanks to. Make it a weekly habit. Make it a daily habit. Sometimes I receive random texts from random people out of the blue thanking me for some random thing. Sometimes I don't even remember. But it just boosts my energy for the day, and I realize God sees even the little things that I don't remember from even some time ago. The timely word can really bless and nourish people. And then the third gratitude challenge is wake up each day just thanking God for the breath that you have, for the opportunities of the day, and for the life that we get to live, and even the struggles that we would face at school, in the workplace, and in our family. So all of you have a little index card, and we're going to start today. If you need a pencil, something to write with, just raise your hand. I think the ushers will come by. I want you to think of one thing to be thankful for. It can be directed to God, or it can be directed to someone in your life. And the challenge I have for you today is to write it out. Remember, be specific. And if it's to someone in your life, I want to encourage you to find a time to share it with that person before the end of this next week. So I'm going to have the worship team come up. But spend a few minutes just really asking the Lord to show you to have the right perspective of any difficulties you may be going through, and start that discipline today. Just thank the Lord, or thank a specific person in your life of how they are special, how they've made an impact in your life, and what a blessing that they have been. Hold on to it, and please share it with somebody by the end of this week. So thank you, worship team. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance. The really cool thing is I texted Nate, and I said, do you have a Fanny Crosby song in your selection today, which he chose 2 weeks ago, and he did. So we're going to sing one of her favorite hymns, Blessed Assurance.
Praise God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. In his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Thanks, delight. praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior.
Before I dismiss you with a prayer of blessing, let's just start practicing what God has taught us. I want you to just take a moment right now. If you can just look up towards heaven, towards God, towards the ceiling. And in your own words, can we just all say, "Thank you, Jesus"? Take your time. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you have given me. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in our lives. And I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Turn to your neighbor, and can we say thank you for being part of this spiritual family. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for speaking into my life. Thank you for being my brother, my sister. And I want you to practice that even as we leave this place, in the courtyard, at home, as you celebrate this Mother's Day. Let's pray together. Father, what a profound reminder that oftentimes because we see too many things, that we also get distracted, we forget your benefits, your goodness. Father, we commit ourselves to this discipline of gratitude. Lord, more than that, Lord, we want to become the cultivator of this culture of gratitude wherever we are. The world is filled with complaining and murmuring spirit, Lord. That even as we leave this place, Lord, may our gratitude bring the presence of your peace and joy that you promised. That may we be able to transform the world that we live in through the way we express our gratitude to you and to one another. May this blessing be the hallmark of our church community, that many people will come into this culture of gratitude to experience this deep joy and peace of Jesus. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So go in peace, and we'll see you soon. God bless you.